In just moments, we reveal 64 of the greatest sports nicknames of all time. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, NCAA tournament bracket style, and us and you will get to determine what is the greatest sports nickname. Perloff, are you excited about this?
Oh my God, I love sports nicknames. I actually saw an article in 2010 in the New York Times saying how come they don't give out sports nicknames anymore. So this could be a lot of old school nicknames. I don't think Big Dumper, who somebody called about last, he's like the, they just don't do nicknames like they used to. Maybe they're all taken. Like, they used to have great sports nicknames, and I think we're going to celebrate some of the most creative, awesome ones of all time.
I'm excited about it. So how we're going to do this, again, we're going to do it in a couple minutes. We're going to reveal the entire bracket. So you're going to be able to find that on our social media, whether it's Maggie and Pearl on X, whether it's Maggie and Perloff on Instagram. We can even put up, I think Cap could put it up on the YouTube stream. You're going to see everything. As far as the voting is concerned, though, we didn't want to put up like a million polls at once, so we're going to do that region by region. We'll do two today and two tomorrow so that it doesn't get totally lost, because we want you guys to really weigh in on these, and we're going to try to find the greatest sports nickname. Meanwhile, that's going to be just in a couple minutes from now. Let's get to the Washington Commanders. There's a little bit of a news hook because they signed Von Miller yesterday, but like no one actually thinks
the Commanders.
Von Miller's the putting anyone over the top. The Bills made that mistake.
Bills, yeah.
They gave him $50 million. That was 3 years ago two other injuries ago.
I think some people think, oh, interesting.
Well, what it signals, though, is an even more all-in mentality. Now, it's not a lot of money, but it signals that the Commanders, who went at a surprise run to the NFC Championship game last year, believe that they are a Super Bowl contender with Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn. Now, here's my issue with the Commanders. I'm going to fade them. First of all, everyone's way too high. Way too high. Mm-hmm. That was I'm not saying they didn't deserve to be in the NFC Championship game, but I don't think the Lions are going to get hurt in the way they got hurt. They had nobody left on defense when the Commanders went in and pulled off that upset last year.
Yeah. Wow. Jaden Daniels.
And also, speaking of Jaden Daniels, he's got a big problem. And that's the team not giving Terry McLaurin a contract yet.
Look at that.
Scary Terry is a big part of that offense. Now, let's hear a little of Terry McLaurin because he needs some new money. He said the contract situation is frustrating.
I've been pretty frustrated, I'm not going to lie. everything that has transpired up until this point has just been disappointing and frustrating. I've wanted to continue my career here. I've created my life here. You know, my wife and I have bought our first home here, so this has been somewhere where I've always wanted to be.
Okay, and also McLaurin not messing around here. He says if he doesn't get the new contract, he's not participating in training camp.
I don't necessarily know what happens next, but without any progressive discussions, it's kind of hard to see how I step on the field. So, I'm just trying to take it day by day.
Okay, so when you actually look, you could think, Perloff, and I know what you're going to say. You don't like any receivers who are even borderline 30 years old. So Terry McLaurin's going to turn 30 on September 15th. And
you
think all those guys should be taken behind the woodshed. But here's the deal. He's actually on the younger side of some of the offensive weapons that they may be relying on. Because Deebo Samuel was another big addition that they had this offseason. And Austin Ekeler is somebody that they, behind Brian Robinson, obviously, who's their starting running back. But they may be expecting things from him. And Zach Ertz is back.
Yeah.
So Terry McLaurin, is actually on the younger side of offensive weapons that they are going to rely on. And this offense is going to look a lot different without him. They have to get this done.
There's something. Well, first of all, this does not scare me at all. Because every great team has contract holdouts, and it's only July. Like, I'm sure he's going to get paid. I mean, maybe worst case scenario, comes to camp late and Brandon Ayuk, he hurts himself. But listen, I saw Chris Jones sitting in the box watching the game week one and win a title. I saw Emmitt Smith hold out 2 weeks and they won a title. So this is not scary. But Terry McLaurin's 30. Were you as shocked as I was that Terry McLaurin's 30? You know he's only played 6 seasons in the NFL. So I wonder if there's less wear and tear on him. He's entering his 7th year. That's nothing. Mm. He's a baby. Like all these other guys. Like, yes, when Tyreek Hill turned 30, like that was a big deal because it felt like he's been playing forever. I don't know why. It just felt... I don't view Terry McLaurin as old. And also, too, he took that screen pass in the playoffs and just jetted off. Like, he's still super fast. I'm not worried about his age, and I think they will find a contract. The thing is, I'm sure they don't want to keep him for 4 years. I'm sure he wants a long-term deal, and he will start to get old. So they'll find a middle ground because, I mean, is Terry McLaurin really going to hold out and not be here? Is he going to go into the season? No way. I don't worry about this. The only possible, it comes back to your original criticism, and not criticism of Jaden Daniels, your original concern, that he's a mobile quarterback and still takes some hits for a guy his size that are scary.
He got hurt last year.
Yeah, if Jaden Daniels is healthy, Daniels is healthy, there's no way I can fade this team. That, I will admit, I do share your long-term concern about, man, if he's going to get out there into the field, like, he's got to be able to take hits. I mean, Lamar got hurt early on, like, a lot of, I don't know, did Josh Allen ever get hurt running? Not really, but
knock on wood.
A lot of guys,
but yes,
a lot of mobile quarterbacks face possible injuries. Donovan McNabb was in this spot as an Eagles fan, and then boom, he was just destroying people on the ground, and then he tore his ACL. So you never know if he'll stay healthy. But if he's healthy, he's so good that I can't see them fading. When you're quarterback, he's just amazing. Like, he can move.
Wow, Jaden Daniels.
He makes amazing decisions. He has incredible chemistry with all his receivers. I think he's the real deal.
They were able to keep Cliff Kingsbury, so I think that's probably a good sign as their offensive coordinator. But I have more reasons to fade the Commanders than I do to think that, okay, they were one step away in the NFC Championship game, so now they're all of a sudden going to be back and be a Super Bowl team.
Well,
not going to do it.
Are you fading them out of the playoffs?
I'm thinking about it.
Maybe they're pinned behind, presumably, the Eagles. And, you know, you never know.
That's true. I think there's like a fine line here, I think, with some of these teams where you want to be veteran. You want like a mix of veteran and young guys, but they're kind of teetering a bit on the older side.
Yeah, they were last year too, and all those guys played great.
And they're all back.
Yeah, right? I know. So, like, Zach Ertz, there's no reason Zach Ertz should have retired. That was the best seasons I've ever seen out of my guy Zach Ertz last year. He was great.
Well, but you're 1 year older, and then I also have to ask, like, how many one score games in these close games during the regular season, the Hail Marys and stuff like that. Sometimes there's this thing we call regression to the mean, where you might not get as lucky in some of those games as you did. I mean, they beat the Bears in that Hail Mary game, and it like turned the season, it put turbo jets on the season. If they lost that game, which was, you know, pretty lucky, one of the great plays of the season last year, jaw-dropping, but I'm not totally sold on the Commanders.
They won 12 games last year. I don't know that they, and also their schedule was a lot easier last year, so I'll give them that. They still have some opportunities on here. It's a harder schedule. I just trust Jaden Daniels so much. I think he's unbelievable. I think he's the next star. I did say the same thing about C.J. Stroud.
See, that's the other part,
but,
right?
I mean, listen, the Texans still made the playoffs and won a playoff game, so it wasn't that hard. I don't see a big regression here, but I understand exactly what you're saying. Like, things are a little tenuous because I just want Jaden Daniels to run out of bounds a little more.
Maybe he will. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. All right, EJ, you want to give me a thumbs up or thumbs down? We ready to go? Thumbs up. That's what I love to see. Manny, hit the music.
From the fridge to the great one, it's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
Absolutely love it. We are going to release the entire bracket right now on social media in the next, 30 seconds. Give us 30 seconds. Give us 30 to 60 seconds. We're going to release the entire bracket that you can see at Maggie and Perl on X and at Maggie and Perloff on Instagram. And maybe Cap can throw this up on our YouTube stream as well. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. So the whole 64, it's up. I see it right now, Cap. Thank you. You guys are amazing. Pearl, for the audience, for the audio audience listening right now, podcast or live, we're going to start with our hoops and handles region. And these are going to be the top 16 greatest basketball nicknames. Although we're not so clearly defined by that. There's going to be other basketball players that make appearances in other regions. But let's start with the hoops and handles regions. And this is going to be one that you can vote on today. So the number one seed as far as nicknames in the hoops and handle region is, of course, Air Jordan.
I can hear his engines revving now.
Air Jordan ready to take off
in Chicago. to be a 50 by. He took off just a little inside that free throw line, one hand and double clutch it. Magic Johnson gives him a nice five underneath the basket as he got out of the way.
The number one seed, Air Jordan, goes against the 16 seed in the Hoops and Handles region. That would be White Chocolate. Jason Williams, pro, one of the great nicknames.
Oh, I love that nickname.
That is a dangerous one seed. Now, is it going to take out Jordan? Probably.
Dangerous 16
seed. 16,
right.
Excuse me. Is it going to take out Jordan as a one seed? Probably not, but one of my faves. And actually, Jason Williams doesn't love this nickname anymore. We know that, but...
Oh, Jason Williams came out against White Chocolate? Why?
He doesn't love it. I think he doesn't love... I don't know. He didn't love the implication. A Sacramento Kings marketing VP came up with White Chocolate. He's told that story a couple times. All right, let's move down the bracket. Greatest nicknames of all time. How do you want to do this here? Do you want to just go down the list you gave me or go 1, 2, 3? Okay, so the 8th seed in the Hoops and Handles region is half man, half amazing, Perloff. This is your guy, Vince Carter. And the 9th seed in this region, the Greek Freak.
The Tokumbu.
So half man, half amazing. The eighth seed, very tough against the 19th Greek Freak.
First of all, if half man, half amazing gets by the Greek Freak, then he's, which is hard, then he's got a good, we got North Carolina against North Carolina. I was hoping Vince Carter would do well. That, I mean, listen, I think, sorry for Greek Freak and half man, half amazing. You're probably going to lose there, Jordan.
I'm telling you, this is a really tight bracket. The fifth seed in this region, the Hoops and Handles, is, of course, the Black Mamba. You could say this could be have even been a higher seed.
That's a 5 seed?
It's a 5 seed, Pearl. These are really, really tough. And the 12th seed going up against Kobe Bryant's Black Mamba is Daryl Griffith, Dr. Duncanstein.
A vodka martini. How many olives would you like? 81.
Do you guys go Dr. Duncanstein, Dr. Duncanstein?
I was a Duncanstein.
Frankenstein. Dr. Duncanstein. Yeah.
By the way, I would say this is a shout out to those great Nike posters. That I think Dr. Duncanstein, there's, you guys know these where, man, you definitely don't. They're way old, but it would be like, they used to take players and he would be wearing a lab coat and pretending to do surgery and it would say Dr. Duncanstein.
I love that.
And they were works of art. They were amazing.
Love it. Let's keep going. The 4 seed in the Hoops and Handle, it's got to be the Rain Man.
Head to Gary, lobs it ahead. The Rain Man will go to get it. And with one fluid motion, send it down with a jam.
Kevin Calabro came up with the Rain Man, as we learned last night. Andrew Kaplan sent us that cool video. The play-by-play guy used to be with Seattle, obviously. Very famous play-by-play man.
I learned something interesting within this whole project. I assumed it was spelled R-A-I-N because it rained so much in Seattle. And then then you put on the list Rain Man. I was like, oh, I never spelled it. In my mind, I never spelled it that way. I always spelled it Rain Man. Like,
oh, my
the movie.
Gosh. Maggie and Kaplan said the same thing last time. Nobody knows it's the Rain Man. Like,
dude,
the...
you weren't even alive when Sean Kemp came on the scene. So
yes,
what
I
are
was.
You doing?
What
wait, wait, why are you lecturing me on the Rain Man? I had a Sean Kemp jersey.
The Rain Man, R-E-I-G-N, like... You know, like his reign.
Reign of terror.
Wait,
yeah,
what?
It's not R-A-I-N. And I told Kaplan and EJ last night, my whole childhood's a lie.
But it's not because it's reign of terror. It's because it rained every day in Seattle. That's the only reason he had that nickname. He wouldn't have been the Rain Man in Oklahoma City. That's
apparently, according to Sean Kemp in this video that Kaplan sent us yesterday, they wanted to call him the Reindeer. And he goes, I'm not being called the Reindeer. And he goes, how about the Rain Man?
Are we going to ruin all these nicknames with backstories, by the way? Please tell me that's not going to happen.
No, this is just fun facts.
Okay.
That's the 4 seed, the Rain Man, Sean Kemp, against the 13 seed, very dangerous 13 seed, the Logo. Mm. Jerry West, of course. Okay, the 6
Ooh,
seed.
That's a good 13th. This region is brutal.
Bro, the entire bracket is bananas.
Yeah, the NBA is really good at this. That's why the Hoops region is going to be especially tough.
And there's even basketball players outside of the Hoops region because we had so many that we had to put them other places. The 6 seed, as we're trying to find the greatest sports nickname of all time, is the Iceman. George Gervin against the 11 seed, the Mailman.
Oh, my God.
Karl Malone.
Iconic, both.
The 3 seed in this region, Pistol Pete Maravich.
There's the Pistol. He has really had some outstanding games against the Knicks. One time last year, the Pistol pumped in 45. He leads the NBA with an average of 29.8.
They go, and he gets a layup to hit 60. You're watching basketball history for Pete Maravich tonight. 60 big ones.
Pistol Pete is the three seed, in this region. Matches up with the 14 seed Chocolate Thunder. Of course, that's Daryl Dawkins. The 7 seed in this Hoops and Handles region, the Worm, Dennis Rodman, against the 10 seed, the Answer, Allen Iverson.
Practice.
And finally, the 2 seed in this region, Irvin Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson. Magic gets to Kareem, straddling the 3-point line. They're picking the Lakers high. Pass under to Worthy, and he slam dunks to be fouled by Oldham. Boy, was that a sensational pass by Magic.
Magic Johnson up against the 15 seed, the Big Ticket, Kevin Garnett.
It is impossible!
So there you go. Yeah. That's what you can vote on. If you want to see the entire bracket, we're releasing it all today. Yeah. But you can now start to vote on the Hoops and Handles region.
I got a potential surprise team, a Cinderella in this region.
Go.
I think Black Mamba against Air Jordan is going to be for this region. I think whoever comes out of that matchup wins the whole thing. I think Black Mamba has a shot.
Sounds like every conversation from the 90s.
Yeah.
The 5th seed is the Black Mamba. Facing off against Dr. Dunkenstein, Daryl Griffith, and then it's in the same region as Air Jordan.
Because we learned recently when ESPN or somebody put out, Bleacher Report put out a list, and Kobe Bryant wasn't in the top 10, the public got really mad.
Oh, that's not nicknames. That's just players.
No, I know, yeah. But I think the popularity of the player will carry the nickname. So I don't think people will be like, what's the most clever nickname? I think if you love Kobe Bryant, you're going to vote for Black Mamba. And Black Mamba is pretty creative, too. So I think Black Mamba upsets Air Jordan. Calling it right now.
Wow.
More successful.
All right. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So again, how this is working, entire brackets out. You can see the whole thing. But as far as voting and going through each region, we started with the Hoops and Handles region. We'll reveal another region to you at the 8 o'clock hour.
You're welcome.
Eastern.
Yeah, NBA's really got this figured out. They are particularly great at nicknames.
To be honest, like, the NBA, I would say, and probably boxing were maybe the two where, especially boxing, like, everyone kind of has a nickname.
I think the rules are, if you don't know the person's real name, then it's not a nickname, it's a name. Like, Sugar Ray Robinson, it obviously wasn't born Sugar.
Yeah.
So is that a nickname?
He wasn't?
Is that, well, nowadays he probably would be, but back, that's not a nickname really, right? Rocky Marciano, I assume is, or maybe his name is Rocky, but
I think that I would say, as far as like nicknames per sport, I think because boxing, everyone has a nickname. You got to be known as something.
I've got an issue with this region.
You got an issue with this region?
Yeah.
Have you seen the whole bracket though?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
The seeding.
No, the Brunson burner. Where is he?
Who needs Brunson?
I mean, come on. EJ, I'm very disappointed in you.
Listen, it's new.
Too recent.
I actually love the nickname the Brunson burner because it reminds me of high school science class.
Yeah.
it is really funny.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, though, do people actually call him that on the street? Like,
no.
Greek Freak?
On the street.
On the street.
No, I mean, like, when you're talking about Jalen Brunson, I don't think it's, for some reason, like, you don't say, ah, man, the Brunson burner went off last night. Feels a little much.
No, when he's in the moment, when he's hot in the moment, I am screaming, like, Brunson burner, baby. Like, yeah. Like,
you
during
are
the games,
screaming, yeah.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Maybe the next night, I don't know.
Shout out Mike Breen. I think he was the one who coined it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the debate. Is the cleverness of the nickname, Air Jordan isn't that clever, but he's Michael Jordan, so you're going to vote for him. So, and also, there's a movie called Air that you and I went to the premiere of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty iconic.
NBA is hard. So many. Again, this is the Hoops and Handles region, but there are other NBA players throughout this bracket because there were just too many good names. I mean, some of the ones that got left off, we're going
to
do that.
Oh, I love
for NBA,
this, yeah.
For NBA, EJ, you can help me out with this, and Kaplan too. The Big Fundamental was left off of the entire bracket, which...
Tim Duncan.
Was it Tim Duncan?
Yeah.
Well, right, but that was Shaq called him that because he thought he was so boring.
The Matrix also... had to make the cutting room floor, and that was painful because we love Sean, not just Sean Marion, but that nickname, that time was so good.
Yeah, and Hakeem Olajuwon is another tough one.
The Dream. I mean, and to be honest, the Dream also had the Dream Shake. So
I would say the Dream Shake is actually more popular than the Dream because you could still do a Dream Shake. Like, anybody does that little turnaround jumper, turn toward the baseline. Oh, if there's a Dream Shake. Yeah.
Tough.
Dream shakes are sexy.
Very, very tough.
Like Pearl's right. The NBA basketball as a whole, I mean, there are college players who could definitely have nicknames that we couldn't get in there either. It's Boogie Fland.
That not a nickname. Oh. It's his name.
No, it's not.
Nobody knows his real name. What is it?
John Well.
Man, he does.
Oh, right.
888-710-4ISN.
Hashtag journalism.
EJ, what's it? Give me an example of the college name.
Oh, I feel like there are a lot of college guys throughout the years that have had nicknames that didn't become like great NBA players. Like Track the Trailer. It's a big one. That was a good nickname.
Yeah, that's a good nickname. Did not make it in.
No. Track the Trailer was a great nickname.
So many, I should say. So this is our first shot here. First region getting revealed. Another one will happen at the top of the next hour. Meanwhile, we are not just about nicknames today. We are about so much more, including what would it take for this team to have a successful NFL year? Tackle that next.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
It's live. That'd be our bracket of the 64 greatest sports nicknames of all time. You can see it at Maggie and Pearl on X, Maggie and Pearloff on Instagram. We're retweeting the bejesus out of it, so you can see the whole bracket. As far as what you can vote on right now, today, in the next couple minutes, one region, the Hoops and Handles region, where the one seed is Air Jordan, 16 seed White Chocolate. We've got everything in between. That's going to be available to you in just a matter of moments. So make sure you vote. Voting will be open for 24 hours, and we will reveal another region at the top of the hour. Can I bring up something not sports for a second? I'm curious where you guys land on this. So you've had this happen before where a stranger has to come to your house to do something, right? So, for example, yesterday, Pearl, someone had to come to do a tax assessment on our home.
Right.
Okay, so it's pretty easy. It's like 5 minutes. They go in. Oh, you got this many bedrooms, this many bathrooms, da-da-da-da. And then you're in and out. I wasn't there. My husband was working from home, though. So he let the person in. And he said, hey, I'm sorry. I'm on a work call upstairs. You know, can I get some water? Bathroom's right here. And if you need me, I'll be upstairs. Like, he was literally in the middle of a call. Had to get back to it. Guy does his thing. Eventually says, hey, by the way, I'm leaving. Okay, walks out. A little bit later on.
Seems normal so far.
Seems normal. My kid is in the downstairs bathroom. And we don't live in a palace. You got a downstairs half bath.
Sounds like you do.
Had a downstairs half bath. Okay? It's pretty small. And my kid was in a little bit later. And he goes, Mommy, it smells like s'mores in here. I was like, smells like s'mores? Wishful thinking, bud. And I go in there. I'm like, oh my God, it smells like someone's been lighting matches. Is that okay?
No.
Toilets!
You can't come in, someone says, hey, here's the bathroom, and like, can you have a drink of water? That's a number one only situation. Now,
1,160 toilets!
Appreciate that the guy lit the matches, and I guess he's like being careful or being respectful in that way, but it's like our downstairs bathroom. It's like where we have like our decorative soaps and stuff.
He lit the matches to get rid of the aroma he left behind.
Well, there's no window in that bathroom. Okay. So, but there is a fan.
I have a small half bath on the downstairs as well.
That's not a number two bathroom. That's a number one bathroom.
And certainly, I mean, for family members. Yeah, not for guests.
You can't go number two in our floor bathroom.
You can't go upstairs, though, right? Because that's a huge
invasion
of privacy.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you would say, well, you're just passing through. But the problem is he's passing through everyone's house. Like, how many more houses? At some point, he's got to,
Not the first time I'm sure he's encountered this. And that's what restaurants and gas stations, you go in, you buy a pack of gum so you can use the bathroom.
Hit up a Wawa here in Jersey.
Whatever. Sure. We got everything. I don't live in the middle of nowhere. I know we joke I'm in, like, the exurbs, but there's stuff. You know?
I think I recently had a guy come work on the garage, and he asked to use the bathroom. And he was in there for a while. I think he might have been the same situation.
Hey, man, that's why another reason I don't live in the suburbs.
People, strangers.
Hey, man, when it calls.
But also, you can hold it for 5 minutes. Also, you can say, excuse me, I'll be right back.
How much of how much protein intake did this guy have?
Thankfully, I don't know, but I'm going to say substantial. Fiber intake.
Well, I mean, fiber, protein, whatever the case may be, when they do the job, you got to answer that call, no matter where you are. Wawa, Miss Gray's.
I don't know. I thought it was crossing a little bit of a line. I don't know. There's
it's
like
not
a,
it's not ideal.
It's not ideal.
No.
No, it's not what you I'm pretty sure the guy who the culprit was also, man, I really don't want to do this, but
maybe
I
he has
really
a medical condition.
Well, maybe it is.
All right. If he, you know, God forbid, if he's got IBS or something, then maybe he's in the wrong field though.
Yeah.
Because you need to work somewhere probably where you have easy access to that. That's a work from home situation.
Home base.
I would disagree with that. I don't think you should limit yourself because you have an illness that you don't want.
No, but I'm not saying limit yourself. I'm just saying there are some jobs that maybe would be better than other jobs.
Well, maybe today was the only day that he was going into the office. Maybe he usually works from home. You don't know that.
Yeah, but the office was my office. It was my house.
You know, I don't think he, it's anyway. A tax assessment guy. He's probably constantly going around from house to house.
Don't come in here with facts, man.
I'm using logic and reason, you know?
He's got to have a million spots. Also, you're familiar with the area.
Yeah.
This is not, you're not from three counties away.
Right. This is home territory.
You know the pizza place down the spot.
Sure.
Down the street. Anyway, so I was wondering about that. Because I'm like, am I the jerk who's like, don't blow up my bathroom?
Yeah.
Stranger. I'm the jerk? Okay.
No.
Maybe I'm the jerk.
I don't think you're the jerk. I think it was just unfortunate situation and timing, but you're well within your rights to be a little annoyed by it.
And then my kid was like, when are we having s'mores? I'm like, now I'm a disappointment because
right.
I've got nothing. I don't have the ingredients.
That's the trickle down. Now the kid needs a snack and you can't come through.
I know. CeeLo has updates for us. What's up?
All right. Well, here's that other Caitlin Clark joke from Shane Gillis hosting last night's ESPY Awards. Yes, I have it for you as requested. Here you go.
Big year for the WNBA. I love Caitlin Clark. Hell yeah. Caitlin Clark, she and I have a lot in common. We're both whites from the Midwest who have nailed a bunch of threes. All right. There you go. Lighten up a little. This is not serious.
I mean, he acts like nobody laughed. There was clearly some laughter there.
Well, that was the best reaction of the night. The other ones kind of fell flat.
And I know a few times he's like, well, I didn't write that one. Yeah, I just read what's on the prompter, which do we necessarily believe that?
No,
I mean, he's
not
a stand-up comedian by trade, right? I mean, I know he's a podcast as well, but I'd imagine he really needs people to write his own material for him.
I'd hope not. That's Shane Gillis.
Right.
That's my hero.
That's the point. That's why he's there.
Right. No, it's weird for comedians to get, I think they do get help, but yeah, of course, like Peyton Manning or someone who's not a comedian gets writers, but you'd think that he could go it alone.
Yeah, I think they do like, Dan always tells a famous story where he helped write Bill Murray's jokes one year in 93 or something.
The ESPYs?
Yeah, the ESPYs awesome. Is awful collaborative, as we understand. We had a friend who was on last year who wrote Sarah Tiana, who helped write in the past. You know, I've heard Shane Gillis talking about writing his SNL monologue, and he did it himself.
Mm.
I would think he'd try and do this one himself, but obviously not.
So when they did the roast of Tom Brady, it was very obvious who got help and who didn't.
Sure.
And like, take the help. Gronk, you know, or whoever, like
wow.
I mean, it was weird.
Gronk's always pretty good, right? No. Oh, at the roast.
At the roast.
Oh, Gronk was great. What do you expect? Gronk's not going to exactly get up there and be Bob Newhart. It's Gronk.
I don't know. I think that Drew Bledsoe probably took the help and he slayed.
Came across well.
Totally.
Just deliver the lines that they write for you, right? Meantime, this was quite the transition in the Gillis monologue.
Shohei Ohtani couldn't make it tonight. Man, I hope his interpreter didn't bet that he was going to be here. Shohei is a once-in-a-generation talent. No one's been able to do what he does at so many positions, pitcher, hitter, and bookie. A bookie is what Bill Belichick reads to his girlfriend before bedtime.
I mean, how do we go from Ohtani to Belichick and Jordan Hudson? And that definitely then opened the door for the age gap jokes.
They do. They read the very horny caterpillar. The little engine that could, but needed a pill first.
Oh, no.
And of course, the classic goodnight boobs. That's my favorite one.
Oh, boy.
I was laughing out loud when I heard. I love that.
Yeah.
Goodnight boobs.
Yeah, I mean, you look on social media, people were just like, not outraged. People were like, oh, this is way too edgy. They're never going to let him do this again.
Calling all boobs.
A lot of it was.
That's why you bring in Shea Gillis,
the jokes,
right?
Yeah, that's the point. You know,
it's
supposed to mix it up a little bit, right? That's the idea. Back to Caitlin Clark. She did not play last night as her fever fell to the Liberty 98-77. She's got the groin issue from late in Tuesday night's game. So her status for All-Star festivities this weekend in Indianapolis up in the air, at least for the moment. We mentioned last hour with the NFL training camps right around the corner. Veteran pass rusher Von Miller is reportedly joining the Commanders on a one-year deal after playing the last 3 years with the Bills. And the 49ers did reach a contract agreement with defensive tackle Alfred Collins, second-round pick. So he gets $10.3 million over 4 years. $9 million guaranteed, so not fully guaranteed like the first couple of second rounders that previously got fully guaranteed contracts earlier in the offseason. So the rest of the second rounders have kind of been in a wait and see mode, a stare down with teams waiting to see if they can, how much money, fully guaranteed money they can get, if not all of it. So maybe this will be the linchpin that gets the rest of these guys signed, sealed, and delivered.
You know which team screwed it up for the entire NFL? Well, one of the teams, two teams did. But
what, the first team that handed out the fully
guaranteed? The Browns, of course, handed out the fully guaranteed to a second rounder, and everyone's like, well, dude, what are you doing again?
They like that.
The owners are got to hate this team.
Yeah, well, and also, if you're paying attention, there seemed like there may have been some collusion after the fact to make sure that nobody else was getting at least a Deshaun Watson-level guaranteed contract. There was an email between the owner of the Chargers and the owner of the...
Don't remember.
Two owners together.
It was, Cardinals, right?
Oh, yeah. One was congratulating the other for not giving Justin Herbert a fully guaranteed contract.
Oh, I thought it was Kyler Murray, but you're right. Okay.
I think you're right. It was those two guys. So the other thing, did you guys see our guy who's been a guest on the show before, Bud Elliott from the Cover 3 podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
So he had a thing about Shamar Stewart, who was the first round pick, who's still not signed with the Cincinnati Bengals because of the language in the contract is basically... He said that there were people telling him, or a high-level source telling him, that Shamar Stewart was working out back at Texas A&M, and there was an idea that he was going to try to basically say no thank you to the Bengals and try to get another year of eligibility at A&M.
Right, but he can't play. Isn't the story he can't play there, though, right?
It's not so much. Well, he'd have to sue and go to court, but the way that things are going now, there's so much leeway being granted to players, finally, that it's hard to get anything restrictive against a player. But the floodgates obviously would be crazy if someone could get drafted and then say no thanks and go back to college. The part of it that would not help him is that the Bengals have his draft rights. Yeah. So he, no matter what, you're going to probably come to this impasse.
Right. Also, too, he would have to sue. He'd have to sue and get on the team by training camp or by August 30th. That seems like a lot.
Well, I mean, it would be unprecedented. I'd be curious about how the courts would rule on something like that now, because the last couple of years has just been so wildly different. Everything goes in the player's favor. They can transfer at any time. We'll see what happens with them trying to cap any of the NIL stuff. All this could end up in court.
I mean, what is it? Some tiny clause that Shamar Stewart's fighting with the Bengals over? There's
about
no way.
Guaranteed money, I think.
There's no way he's going through all that trouble for a fifth guaranteed year or something.
Court ruling is generally not an expedited process either, right?
Well, that's true.
Is that right?
But back in the day, 5 years ago, the NFL had so much leverage because you could not get paid in college. Now, Shamar Stewart could go back to Texas A&M and make maybe a similar amount of money that he would even make with the Bengals. Anyway.
SEC Media Day, Alabama's Kalen DeBoer moving forward from a 9-4 mark in his first season as Crimson Tide head coach. No college football playoff appearance. And knows that's got to change.
I think individually in our own programs, that's our responsibility to be to be at the top. Right? That's the expectation of, I know, at Alabama, but also the expectation for the SEC as a whole.
And on top of that, you get these Nick Saban rumblings circulating, a potential return to coaching.
He's one of the greatest to ever do it, and so he's earned the right to do what he wants. I think the best part about what Coach Saban's doing right now is that he's still involved in the game. He's growing the game. He brings passion to it.
That's one of those phrases people get, growing the game.
Yeah, because college football has been around for 155 years. Grow the game.
They love that in golf, too, with the live guys and making more money. Well, I just want to keep growing the game. How exactly are you growing the game?
Yeah, you want a little boy in Kazakhstan to feel like they can also achieve this dream.
Dude's just trying to go to a press conference.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just one of those token throwaway lines.
Get me out of here.
Grow the game.
Ambassador to the game.
Yeah. Three-time NBA All-Star Bradley Beal agrees to a contract buyout with the Suns, plans to join the Clippers on a two-year $11 million deal with a player option after clearing waivers. So that player option would then clear the way for the 32-year-old to be one of the top available players in free agency next summer. But for now, with the Clippers, he'll team up with Kawhi Leonard and James Harden to join a new, I know this is another phrase we throw around, big three for L.A.
But I thought you were going to say super team.
Super team? Okay.
That was that's a stretch.
We went from super team, big three kind of became the next thing after super team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't super team with the Heat, with LeBron, Dwayne Wade, or am I remembering that wrong?
No, I mean, this is definitely three guys. No,
Three guys. So, I mean, maybe not a big three, but it's three guys.
Three guys, and two of them have had trouble staying healthy. But
mm-hmm. Sure. Three guys with some names.
This team would have been amazing in, like, 2010.
If those guys were all in their prime, can you imagine trying to, Bradley Beal and James Harden trying to share the ball? That would be a sight to see.
Yes. Last thing, MLB All-Star break rolls on. Regular season doesn't resume until tomorrow. We've got another pro sports break-in as a home belonging to Diamondback star Ketel Marte was burglarized thought to be burglarized Tuesday night while Marte was taking part in the All-Star game in Atlanta. Scottsdale, Arizona police say that they're investigating a high-dollar residential burglary, number of personal items and jewelry stolen. No one was home at the time of said burglary.
That's nice. I played baseball with the kid who's Ketel Marte's cousin. That's awful.
I mean, thankfully, no one was home, so there wasn't any kind of...
Yeah.
Well, is that why he was robbed?
No, yeah,
because I know the athlete's schedule.
But like Joe Burrow wasn't home, and someone and his girlfriend was there, and she freaked out.
Or assistant.
Yes, girlfriend assistant / assistant.
Both on the payroll.
Didn't really attack it on quarterback, by the way.
Blurring the lines.
Yeah. He avoided the rush on that one.
I digress.
But we did get the detail that Joe Burrow's house got broken into. They recovered his stuff, though, when they pulled over the people who robbed him. They had all this LSU memorabilia and couldn't explain why they had it. Okay. But he did say now he's not buying the Batmobile because of that. Right?
Oh, when did he say that?
He said that in quarterback. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what came out is that he's got cold feet now on the Batmobile.
I love that. Oh, yeah. He's not. It's like just a kind of. Yeah. He's going to pass on the Batmobile. Like,
he's not by the Empire State Building anymore. As one does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do with the Batmobile?
You drive it.
Do you, though?
No.
He said he'd wear it to games.
Gotta drive at least
once. Said he was going to wear the costume, the cape, everything.
He was going to drive the Batmobile to games
costume. He was going to get a bat suit and like one of the legit ones too. And he was going to drive every Sunday. That's what he said in quarterback. Huh?
I believe him.
You're just begging to be mocked every time you lose a game when you show up in that.
You wear that to the post game press conference after you lose.
Right? Yeah.
People got on Cam Newton because he wears a funny hat.
Yes. I would go to Wegmans wearing all that. Are you kidding me?
No, you got to pack the separate attire.
Yeah. Yeah, I did
the bag if you lose the game.
Just show up in the uniform.
I noticed the quarterback, by the way, he, you know, some Brady always would not change, but he showed up in a white t-shirt a bunch of times after the Bengals lost. Like, what? I'm like, what happened to the fancy suit you showed up in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't show up as Batman in the post game.
No.
Sometimes, not if you lose.
Not if you lose.
You know what I realized watching quarterback, by the way, real quick? I kind of want to punch Joe Burrow in the face.
Because he's got a better life than you? But you knew that.
He's got a punchable face. I know what you
mean. It's not even that. His face is a little bit punchable, and just his personality kind of makes me want to punch him in the face.
He looks like a college or a high school bully. He looks like a bad guy in the 80s movie. I've always thought that.
But I think he's a nice guy, though.
And don't in real life.
I'm sure, yeah. I mean, and don't get me started on Kirk Cousins. Oh, my God.
Doesn't he look like Biff in an 80s comedy? Like, he's going to beat up his little brother. Definitely.
Burrow or Cousins?
Burrow.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Burrow looks a little like Macaulay Culkin. Doesn't he get compared to Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
But he also could be like, he's got blonde hair and like, yeah, he could be the bully.
He dyed it blonde. That was his look. He bleached blonde, dyed it.
Yeah. But it's more, I think his natural is more like dirty blonde, maybe.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. But he tried to do the M&M thing.
Yes.
And then it grows out and then you look like NSYNC.
The frosted tips.
Yep. I know it well. 888-710-4ISN. That was my high school days.
Oh. I thought you had frosted tips for a second.
No, my stuff costs way more money than that. But no, every guy in my high school who could do it put sun in his hair, and then it would eventually either go orange or blonde, and then you'd have the frosted tips as it grew out. It's all the rage. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710. 4476. They weren't that great. Okay, coming up, the expectations for one NFL team. Are they growing too much? Do that next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, we've got our nickname bracket has been released. The first region available to vote on. We're going to release another region coming up later on in the show, Pearl. But first, some NFL questions. EJ is going to throw out a team, and we're going to say what would a successful season look like for that team. So what would the expectation be for that team? I'll take a little bit of music, Manny. And EJ, why don't you go ahead? Who's our first team?
All right, let's head to the Rocky Mountains. A successful season for the Denver Broncos would be blank.
Winning a playoff game, not just making the playoffs. And I know the AFC is really tough, but Pearl, they were in the playoffs last year with a rookie quarterback. Sean Payton is a Hall of Fame coach, probably. And
Broncos country.
Well, let's forget that era.
Let's ride.
To be fair.
Let's ride.
That was a close first half against Buffalo on the road, a very good Bills team, and they hung with them at least for a half, and then it became a bit of a laugher after that. But winning a playoff game is a successful season in Denver.
Yeah, I'm 100% on the same page with you. Their defense is a lot. I read a projection on PFF that they could be the number one defense in the league next year. They're just stingy. Now, one of the reasons I think they're stingy is because their offense doesn't put a ton of pressure on the other team. I don't think they get involved in a lot of shootouts. Sean Payton, second year with Bo Nix. I like this team a lot. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, and I don't think we need them to get that far for a successful season. I think they're building in the right direction.
Who's next, EJ?
Okay, so let's go to the Bay Area. A successful season for the San Francisco 49ers would be?
I'll go NFC title game. Because if everyone's healthy, then there's no excuse. The last time that they had this injury plague season, they came back and they were 10-7 the next year and made it to the NFC title game, lost to the Rams. I feel like it has lowered since the heyday because everyone knows they're older and they've lost a lot of guys. But I feel like if they get the NFC title game, then everyone will think the Niners are back on track and Shanahan has got to figure it out with his young quarterback.
This Super Bowl or bust team, to me, the only successful season is winning the Super Bowl, not just getting to the Super Bowl, winning it. Besides Juwan Jennings, who's kind of a surprise, maybe holdout, they've paid all the people they want to pay to be there now, right? Paid Brock Purdy. Trent Williams seems to be fine.
They definitely wanted Drake Greenlaw. They didn't pay him.
But they made the choice not to, and he's
gone. They made
gone.
An offer at the end, and then they tried to get back in hard on that, and they wanted him there.
Okay, well, if you really wanted him there, then you make it happen. Like, I can't give him your, you know, participation trophy for letting one of their good players walk out the door and go to Denver. This is, you know, they decide how they want to spend their money, and they're not, you know, they're used to, at this point, having to fit in a lot of big salaries. So, to me, Super Bowl or bust, got to win the Super Bowl to be successful in San Francisco. Who's next, EJ?
All right. How about the Tennessee Titans? A successful season for the Tennessee Titans would be?
Bro, I know you're a little higher on the Titans than I am. I'm just going to go with above 500 record. That's it. I mean, they had number one pick in the draft this year. It was a dreadful season last year, but they did end up with the prize, which at least is Cam Ward. I'm just going with above 500, and I would say they're on the right track.
Oh, my God. That is way more bullish than I am, and I love the Titans. I was like, if you get 7 wins, like, it's on, baby. Like, above 500, that'd be a shocking season. Yeah, I'm actually surprised. I thought you were going to say, like, 5 wins. They were in 3-14 last year. If they get the 7 wins, very successful.
Who's last?
All right, let's go to Minnesota. A successful season for the Minnesota Vikings would be...
Throw it, man!
That's a team that needs to win a playoff game. And I know because they've made it so many times. Like, they made it with Kirk Cousins, lost to the Giants. They made it last year and had no chance against the Rams. So I think they still, the new quarterback, but if they get to the playoffs, they have to finally win one of these, or Kevin O'Connell's going to get a rap not being able to win in the postseason.
Yeah, I don't see it that way because of J.J. McCarthy, and I think it's just getting to the playoffs would be a successful season. Just getting there. I don't think they have to win. I don't think it's going to be this big black mark on Kevin O'Connell. It's like, what of these things is not like the other? Kirk Cousins had been in the league for a decade. Sam Darnold had been in the league for close to a decade, even though wasn't a starter for all that time. Now you got a second-year guy.
But he's going to be a huge oafer in the playoffs. Like, that'll start to wear you. It happened to my guy Andy Dalton. Can't go 0-4 in the playoffs.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We got more nicknames for you. We also have Kalen DeBoer talking at SEC Media Days about the expectations for Alabama. And, of course, Nick Saban's name came up. What'd he say? We'll tell you next. The team.